this is Tony Lloyd. Being a broadcaster for many years, I've witnessed some great stories in the music industry, and now I want to bring as many music stories to you as I can in this series of podcasts. My goal is that they will inspire others making their way in the music world.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.
Delta, welcome to Music Stories. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you.
Okay, I'm good. Thank you very much. I'm talking to you from France and you're in London, so the modern technology seems to be working at the moment.
Yeah, it does. And this is certainly for yourself. I suppose the weather is much nicer in the south of France than it is in London.
Normally, yes. Today, it's chucking it down. It's autumn has hit. But yeah, normally the summer lasts a lot longer. And when the sun comes out, it's really hot, whatever time of year it is. So yeah, it's better generally than it is in London, certainly. One of the reasons why we moved here. Anyway, your music is called Delta, spelled D3LTA. So basically the E in Delta is the wrong way round, just to be creative and different. That's a good thing.
Exactly. I mean, because Delta is as a name, so coming from Greece, so for the audience that doesn't know, I'm half Greek, half English.
Okay.
I grew up in Athens. My mom is from Manchester, a small village called Salford, actually next to Manchester. Because Delta is a name in Greece, is being used everywhere. I mean, you see it in shops, being used left and right. I needed something to differentiate my name from it. And it just... So the three resembles the Greek E turned around. So that's a
very clever
idea behind it.
I love it. Very clever, very clever. I've been to lots of places in Greece, but never to Athens. I've been to some of the islands like Rhodes and Corfu and Crete, but never to the mainland. So do you get back there at all?
Yes. So I just moved a month and a half ago to London. I was in Athens before, traveling back and forth. But it's very vibrant now. I think there's a lot going on in the arts. Finally, the economy is not doing that bad anymore. So things have a very positive outlook.
That's good. Well, welcome to London. I'm from London. So
there. Oh, nice.
Okay, you've got a new single out called Happy Out of Love. Can you tell me what inspired that song?
Yeah, so... essentially, it's what it says on the tin. It's after a relationship ended, which wasn't a nice relationship to be in. And when it ended, it was also like a horrible situation. So I just found myself relieved when it ended, to the extent where you just feel very happy. It's essentially a celebration of being single and alone and doing whatever you want.
It was sort of a relief moment, was it, for you?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I wonder if the person who you're in the relationship was is going to listen to this. what will they think? Well, actually, I'm relieved as well.
Yes.
Okay. It's always traumatic, whatever, when a relationship ends. But obviously that inspired you to write this song.
Yes, exactly. And it's funny because you don't listen to too many happy breakup songs. So the idea for the song, I mean, I started writing it. I was in London actually at the time. I was in a hotel room in Shoreditch. And my manager called me up and he's like, we need another pop song like Strange, because we had released a song that went top 40 in Greece. It went really well. And we wanted a follow-up. I told him it doesn't work like that. I can't just write another pop song, you know, I just can't. And and a friend of mine calls me up and tells me that my ex that I had broken up was going to be at his birthday party. We have like these awful encounters. And I just wanted, you know, I just picked up the guitar when we hung up. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to write a song about like her. And it's not going to be a very nice song, but this wasn't very, literally, it was an anti-pop song in my mind, like reacting to what my manager said and what was happening in my life at the time. And I wrote it. It's one of the few instances where I wrote it in one sitting, nearly the entire thing. And then the next day I had my first co-writing session organized by my manager in London. And I remember I met, so it's Max Wolfgang, who I wrote it with. So I went to his place. We had coffee. I chatted about the relationship, what had happened. I played him what the concept was and what I had. It's like, I love this. Let's just nail this down.
Yeah.
And we just had a laugh, essentially. And it's not, and you know, even there are some lyrics that are, I wouldn't say too mean, but they're more on the sarcastic side and more, let's say, humorous. They're not meant to be taken that seriously. For instance, there's a line that I love that says, "You waited so long and asked for a song that I could sing about you. Well, hey, here it is. I hope you forgive. It's not the one you're after."
That's brilliant. I tell you what, we need to have a little listen to it, don't we? Here we go. Just a little snippet of it. Here we go.
Pretend to talk to my friends to get to know me better, and there was a side that you like to hide when we were together. Turns out you've got two sides to your face, 'cause I've seen both lately. How did something sweet become so sour? Now please just get out of my life. We broke up once, won't ask you twice. So bored of keeping the scores, I let you beat me after all. I wish you the best, even though you're a mess. Please don't call.
That certainly is a happy breakup song, isn't it? That's fantastic. I love it.
Thank you so much.
It's great. It's almost like there's a party going on there with a chorus.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Is it getting any radio plays? Because it should.
Yeah, so it's actually, it's coming out in a week. So, yeah.
Okay. Fingers crossed with that. I think it's going to be a hit. Exactly. I think it's going to be a hit. I play lots of music for the last nearly 50 years in the industry, so... I can recognize a hit when I hear one. If you get the right plays, I reckon that'll be a hit for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I mean, yeah.
Excellent. Now, your influences are quite interesting. I was reading the people that, and the bands that have influenced you at all. Can you describe those?
Yeah. So I started playing the piano when I was super young, and then I picked up the guitar because of punk music. So... which has changed dramatically since. So when I say punk, I mean Green Day and Blink-182 and that movement, like mid to late 2000s, which was super popular at the time. And after I got into music through an album called American Idiot by Green Day, I don't know if you've heard of it. And from the age of like 17 to 18 later, I started delving into different bands. But what would happen is I would get obsessed with a band, learn everything about them, read and listen to every interview they ever did, and then jump onto the next artist. So I've listened, for instance, to Pink Floyd, which I absolutely love. And Syd Barrett specifically was a massive influence. I've listened to his two records that he has released. And the way that he wrote songs was very, very interesting. I think also for the time then, but also now, I mean, production elements. So there's a song called Bike by Pink Floyd's first album, which the backing vocals influenced a song I did called Strange, which are very spooky sort of in the background, sort of sonically filling the higher register.
Oh.
But I've delved into, I mean, David Bowie's also been a big influence, Queen, all of them very 70s influenced. I've also said all the way to now, like I listen to Olivia Rodrigo, of course, like Billie Eilish and all of that stuff. But more, I think you can tell from the song, it's, I love live instruments. I love people in a room playing live together. I think it has such a unique feeling than just, you know, stacking everything with the MIDI. And just having everything perfect. I think there's something about the energy in the room that's unique, which is why I love so much music that originated from that era, or artists like Lady Gaga, who still actually produced music in that way.
Mm, yeah.
super interesting.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, you don't look, I'm talking to you on Zoom so I can see you. You don't look very old to remember the 70s stuff, really. So you're sort of looking at back catalogue music from your point of view.
Of course. Yeah, no, I wasn't alive. So it was, yeah. I'm 30. I just turned 30.
Right. People listening to this, he looks about 19.
Yeah.
making me feel very old because I remember all those songs coming out originally, of course, because I'm
so lucky though. I mean, it was so, because I would die to just be able to listen to those songs when they came out. It's just because I don't know how you were able to do anything else, like, you know, because 1973, for instance, you had Queen, you had like Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, like all in the span of 2 years, like David Bowie, I think, which wasn't Diamond Dogs, 1973. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's all in the space of 2 years. And now, I mean, what do we have that even closely resembles that, you know?
It was terrible, I can tell you.
Yeah.
73, I was 16, I think. Your EP, I read, Into the Rabbit Hole, has had rather a lot of streams and downloads, hasn't it?
Yes.
That's amazing. It says here 850,000 plus.
Yeah. And I mean, it's amazing because you see that the more music you release, the more people rediscover things you've done before.
Mm-hmm.
And the more of an impact it starts having, more people show up to gigs, they know the lyrics, and it's all a pretty surreal feeling. And also, I think a push to keep going forward and keep doing music because, you know, someone is actually listening. It's not just you on your own making music and releasing it to the world.
Yeah.
And out of those songs, actually Strange is the one that carries it nearly, it has more than 500,000 plays now. And what's interesting about it that I find, I mean, amazing is that since it was released, it's getting consistently the same number of streams, even slightly more now. So it's not, you know, that it was relevant for the first 6 months of its release. And as soon as any promo stopped, people stopped listening. Actually, the song keeps growing. And I see, like, now on Spotify, you can see how many people have it on playlists. It's some thousands of playlists that people create on their own, share with friends. And I think it's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm happy that you said that this song, you know, you enjoyed and it's a happy song because, you know, there's nothing better than people, you know, texting me on Instagram or telling me on the street, oh, I listen to your song when I wake up and just makes my day.
Mm.
I mean, it's just the best feeling ever.
Well, I think Happy Out of Love will certainly put a smile on people's faces when they play that first thing in the morning, no problem. Especially if it relates to them, of course. And that's the trick, isn't it? Because people can identify with a message from a piece of music.
Exactly. And I'm not... It's funny because I thought about this. I'm not sure if someone is in the state of mind of being broken up that wants to feel better, will relate to it and will listen to it, or if someone is in a happy relationship, won't relate to it as much, or will maybe relate from a past relationship. Because I think we've all, you know, been in relationships that weren't right, and it just lasted a lot longer than they should. And then when it ends, you know, you both know it's the right thing to do.
Well, you have to have a few practices, I think. you are going on tour, aren't you? And you're the main support, it says here, for Scouting for Girls, which is amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes, I'm super excited. So the tour starts next Friday.
Okay. I have to say to people listening to this, it's the 25th of October 2023 at the moment, because people could listen to this episode in a year or so's time. I think, ooh, I must go next Friday. How did that come about? I mean, they're a big enough band, and obviously you've got the talent and the reputation, and they wanted you on their tour.
Yes, so I think because when Strange came out last year, things sort of blew up in Greece. So the song reached top 40 in the country, which is amazing for an English song. And I that also meant that I opened for London Grammar when they came to Athens. That was a huge support. And I think just like stepping stones that led to now us being able to, you know, apply for this tour, and they were kind enough to say, yeah, like, let's do this. And I think it's amazing because also Happy Out of Love as a song, which is the one that we want to promote, is very close to their sound. So it's not something massively different. So I think their audience will appreciate the set as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, good luck with the tour. Have you got any advice for people in the music business listening to this episode of Music Stories who are after advice? Maybe they haven't been on tour with anybody. Maybe they'd like to go on tour with somebody. Any generic advice you could give them?
Yeah, I'd say keep practicing and keep on going. So keep writing songs, because the more you write, the better you will get. That's a definite definite thing. And also, the more you play live, the better you will get. And if you can't get to a main support yet, you should practice locally gigs as much as you can. And the better you become, more people will start to take notice. So yeah, don't give up, essentially, and just keep going.
Driving. Yeah. Keep going. Dale, so thank you so much for talking to me on Music Stories. I love your new single, Happy Out of Love, which is launched very soon, just about everywhere, I should imagine. And maybe we'll catch up again and talk in a year's time and find out how that tour went with Scouting for Girls and everything else. So thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you very much for having me, Tony.
Tony Lloyd, creating audio and film worldwide.